What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I told you there were going to be some trades before the NBA draft. One happened before the NBA draft. The other happened after the NBA draft. One was shocking. One was not so shocking. So let's begin with the one that happened before the NBA draft. Giannis Antetokounmpo was finally traded. I kind of feel like we've been hearing about him getting traded from the Bucks for about 3 years now. And so it finally happened this year. And he's been traded to the Miami Heat. So, you know, I think that's a great move for the Heat. And that's a great move for him. Hell, he's going from Milwaukee to Florida. Hell yeah, I'm down with that as far as weather goes. But yeah, no, that's a great move just for all parties involved. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to be getting Tyler Hero and a couple of draft picks. There we go. That Giannis was finally moved. And then the surprising one. Now, it's kind of surprising. It's not really that surprising just because when you're a really good player and you're stuck on a shitty team, at some point you usually tend to get traded. And LaMelo Ball, he has not only been traded, but he's been traded to a contender. He has been traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Him and Anthony Edwards are going to be teamed up next year, y'all. That is going to be pretty crazy because those are two exceptionally talented players. And I'm interested to see what's going to happen with those two because it is Minnesota is going to look pretty goddamn good, I think, with the two of them. So that's a good move for them. And yeah, there you go. So Giannis and LaMelo were traded. Let's get into the NBA draft in the first round and how that turned out. Number one overall pick going to the Washington Wizards ended up being A.J. DeBanksta out of BYU. Number two, the Utah Jazz went with Darren Peterson out of Kansas. Number three, the Memphis Grizzlies went with Cameron Boozer out of Duke. Number four, the Chicago Bulls went with Caleb Wilson out of North Carolina. Number five, the Los Angeles Clippers went with Keaton Wagler out of Illinois. Number six, the Brooklyn Nets went with Michael Brown Jr. out of Louisville. Number seven, the Sacramento Kings went with Darius Acuff Jr. out of Arkansas. Number eight, the Atlanta Hawks went with Kingston Flemings out of Houston. Number nine, the Dallas Mavericks went with Morris Johnson Jr. out of Michigan. Number 10, the Milwaukee Bucks went with Braden Burris out of Arizona. Number 11, the Golden State Warriors went with Yaxel Lendeborg out of Michigan. Number 12, the Oklahoma City Thunder went with Ade Mara out of Michigan. Number 13, the Miami Heat with Nate Ament out of Tennessee. Number 14, the Charlotte Hornets went with Hans Steinbeck out of Washington. Number 15, the Chicago Bulls went with Dalen Swain out of Texas. Number 16, the Memphis Grizzlies went with Bennett Sturts out of Iowa. Number 17, the Oklahoma City Thunder went with Abuka Okori out of Stanford. Number 18, the Charlotte Hornets went with Christian Anderson Jr. out of Texas Tech. Number 19, the Toronto Raptors went with Allen Graves out of South Carolina. Number 20, the San Antonio Spurs went with Jaden Quintance out of Kentucky. Number 21, the Detroit Pistons went with Kareem Lopez out of Mexico. Number 22, the Philadelphia 76ers went with LeBaron Fillon Jr. out of Alabama. Number 23, the Atlanta Hawks went with Zubi Ejiofor out of San Jose State University. Number 24, New York Knicks went with Cameron Carr out of Baylor. Number 25, Los Angeles Lakers went with Sergio De La Laria out of Spain. Number 26, the Denver Nuggets went with Terrace Reed Jr. out of UConn. Number 27, the Boston Celtics went with Chris Senak Jr. out of Houston. Number 28, the Minnesota Timberwolves went with Joshua Jefferson out of Iowa State. And number 29, the Cleveland Cavaliers went with Alex Caraban out of UConn. And number 30, the Dallas Mavericks went with Koa Pete out of Arizona. So that's how the first round of the draft turned out. Obviously, we don't know how any of those players are going to turn out until the season begins. But like I said, it was those trades that I think made a big deal. Giannis and LaMelo going to different teams. Now let's get into baseball. We had some breaking news today. This was also not really shocking. As a matter of fact, I felt like this was long overdue. And that is the New York Mets finally fired Carlos Mendoza today. They have been a terrible team ever since he took over as manager. I mean, they have so much talent. They spend the most on their roster every single season, and they get nothing out of it. They barely even make the playoffs, and if they do make the playoffs, they're one and done. And they've just been terrible this year. They have way too much talent on their roster to be as bad as they are. So Mendoza's been fired. We'll see if that lights a fire up under the ass of the New York Mets players. But I feel like that was long overdue. I feel like he should have probably been fired about a month ago at this point. But he has finally been relieved of his duties, and the Mets can now move on. So let's get to the rest of the week of baseball, beginning with Monday. A great matchup between the Detroit Tigers and the New York Yankees. The Tigers got the win 5-3. Valdez went six innings pitched with eight strikeouts, and Green had the difference maker home run in this one, home run and RBI in a win over the Yankees that the Detroit Tigers got. Then also on Monday, the Washington Nationals took the win over the Philadelphia Phillies 4-1. Griffin went 7.1 innings pitched with nine strikeouts, and Cody Meade had a home run as well. And like I said, this Washington Nationals team is very good, but we're going to find out in the next three games how they could completely blow it as well as the week progresses on. Also on Monday, the Dodgers took down the Minnesota Twins 2-1. Eric Lauer, you know, it kind of just feels like the Dodgers are just getting production out of every single player. And now all of a sudden, Eric Lauer is getting some great production from them out of the starting pitching position. He went six innings pitched with no earned runs. Freddie Freeman had a home run. Ohtani had a home run. And that was the difference in this game. Then also on Monday night, the Chicago White Sox took down the Cleveland Guardians 6-5. This kind of extended their lead in the American League Central. Antonacci had the game-winning double. He went 2-for-4 with 3 RBI. And their rookie, Montgomery, he has been having quite the season. He went 2-for-3. And Kay, their pitcher, went 6 innings pitched with 8 strikeouts in this one. And also on Monday, the Colorado Rockies took down the Boston Red Sox 3-2. And they actually won on a walk-off triple while they were trailing by 2 runs. This is the first time this has happened since 1969 in the league that a game-winning triple with to end the game, basically, it's never happened since the 60s. So there you go. And McCarthy was the one who did it. Then on Tuesday, the Kansas City Royals took down the Tampa Bay Rays 12-5. Jack Caglione, he has been on fire the last couple of weeks. He went 3-for-5 in this one with 2 home runs, 3 RBI. Lofton also went 4-for-5 with a home run and 2 RBI himself. Now, as I just said about the Washington Nationals and blowing a lead, well, guess what? They blew a lead on Tuesday night to the Philadelphia Phillies, where they had an 8-run lead. 8 runs. Not in the 9th inning with 2 outs to go. And all of a sudden, Brandon Marsh hits a home run. He's another dude who's been having a great year. He hits a home run and just starts this barrage of runs for the Philadelphia Phillies. And they end up winning the game 14-9 with 2 outs in the 9th inning. Like I said, Marsh, he had a home run. He went 3-for-6. Bryson Stott also had a huge home run in the 9th inning as well to really just push the Phillies out to win that one. So huge blown lead for the Washington Nationals in that one. Then also on Tuesday, the Chicago Cubs got a win over the New York Mets, who just fired their manager. They got the win 9-6. PCA had his 5th home run in 6 games. So this guy has been on fire and have been a huge reason as to why the Chicago Cubs team is finally winning again. And then on Tuesday, the San Diego Padres got a win over the Atlanta Braves 7-6. This one went 10 innings in which Manny Machado had the game-winning single. You know, Machado's had an up-and-down year. He started off the season very hot, but now he's been pretty quiet. But that game-winning single hopefully is going to boost him a little bit. Fernando Tatis also has had a quiet season as well. Well, I mean, not really quiet, but he really hasn't been hitting him out of the park. He went 2-for-5 with a home run and 2 RBI in this one as well. And the Atlanta Braves, they have not been looking good. You know, they were one of the top teams for quite some time, and now they've really fallen off. So we'll see what happens with this team, especially now that the Phillies are starting to get rolling. Then on Wednesday, I was just talking about the Phillies. Well, guess what? They did it again. They were down in the 9th inning with 2 outs to go, this time only down by a couple of runs, though. But they got the win 5-4. Derek Hill hit the game-winning home run on this one, a two-run home run on this one to yank another win away from the Washington Nationals in the 9th inning. Then talking about the Chicago Cubs and the New York Mets, this is basically one of the reasons why the manager got fired, because they lost a doubleheader, as a matter of fact, on Wednesday. First game on Wednesday, they lost 10-3. Dansby Swanson went 2-for-4, had 2 home runs and 7 RBI, because one of those home runs was a grand slam. Then in game 2, the Chicago Cubs got the win 10-5. Dansby Swanson, 3-for-5, 4 RBI in this one. in the series. Dansby Swanson, one player in this entire series, had 15 RBI. How insane is that? That is just nuts. You know, that's what Dansby Swanson does, though. He is a very streaky player where he's consistent. He'll get on base. He'll do all the great things. But then it's like he's not really going to knock you out of the park. But then he has runs like this where you're like, what the fuck did he just do? He has 15 RBI in one series. So that's just Dansby Swanson for you, man. He steps up when he has to step up. And I kind of feel like that doubleheader right there is a big reason as why Carlos Mendoza lost his job. And then also on Wednesday, the Dodgers got a win over the Minnesota Twins, 4-3. And Ohtani went 6 innings pitched with 8 strikeouts, so a huge bounce back for him. After his last starting pitching outing, he didn't pitch that well, but he got right back at it in this one. And then another guy who's starting to get going for the Dodgers, Mookie Betts, 3-for-4 with a home run and an RBI. You do not want this guy getting hot. You know, Freeman, he started off the season slow. He's hot. Ohtani's hot behind the bat. And now Betts getting back at it. These are their MVP-level players. And once they get going, they get going. And this is the time of year that the Dodgers get going. Then on Thursday, we had the Tampa Bay Rays took down the Kansas City Royals 13-2. They actually almost had a combined no-hitter in this one. It went all the way to the 7th inning in this one. But the big news was actually Caminero. This guy has been having a phenomenal year. He had 3 home runs in this game with 6 RBI. And, I mean, he's just a go-getter with the home runs. I mean, I think I was looking at the stats, and he is, before 22 years old, he's got the most home runs for a Tampa Bay Ray. So this guy has been amazing for the Tampa Bay Rays. And then, once again, the Washington Nationals blew a lead to the Philadelphia Phillies in the 9th inning. This time, it was Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper was drafted by the Washington Nationals, by the way, so he got a little bit of a revenge game, I guess you could say. Not that I feel like it was really a major fallout between the two of them, but hey, he used to play for them, and he stuck it right to them. He had the go-ahead 2-run home run in the 9th inning, in which the Philadelphia Phillies got the win 10-5. All right, speaking of baseball, this week's list, I decided to do a little something different this week. I mean, it's baseball themed because we are in baseball season, headstrong right now. But I noticed I hadn't done a breakdown of the greatest Yankees of all time because there are quite a few. I mean, you could really list probably 100 in order. As a matter of fact, I saw quite a few lists of ranking all 100 Yankees that you possibly can. I opted to stick to 5. It was close to 10. But I really just kind of wanted to stick to 5 because I feel like these are the top guys for sure. But I mean, as far as the Yankees go, they are the most historically amazing team. Not even just in baseball. I mean, in all sports, period. This is the greatest franchise ever. And as far as Hall of Fame players go, and as far as some of the greatest players go, they've got them. And in my top 5, 4 of the 5 of them, straight Yankees from start to finish their entire career. And then let me look at the, because I do have some honorable mentions as well. Yeah, the majority of the honorable mentions are either lifetime Yankees or the majority of the career are Yankees. So that's another amazing feat because I know over the years, everybody likes to complain that, oh, the Yankees buy the best players and then that's how they win all their World Series, and that's actually not true. They have quite a few homegrown players, Aaron Judge being one of them, stupids. So let's get right into the top 5 all-time Yankees. My honorable mentions, it was really, really, really difficult not to put Derek Jeter in there. But I looked at these 5, and especially number 5, I really wavered on 5. But then I was like, nah, man, I just really can't. But Derek Jeter, he was the ultimate Yankee. I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time to ever do it, just period. But as far as Yankees go, he was a pinnacle and an icon and the dude of that dynasty era in the 90s and 2000s. So Derek Jeter, of course, he gets an honorable mention. Mariano Rivera, he's another one who was right there alongside Derek Jeter. I mean, Rivera is probably the greatest closer of all time. I haven't ranked closers, but, you know, he's definitely going to be up there. And honestly, he probably is the greatest closer of all time. I mean, it was almost difficult to ever score a run on Mariano Rivera, but one of the most reliable closers you will ever have. Then starting pitcher Whitey Ford. It's really actually shocking with the Yankees, because when I was going through this list, my top five, all hitters, by the way, that's what they all are. The Yankees are just straight hitters, but and you look at the pitchers, they're just sprinkled in there, and Whitey Ford's obviously one of them. He's one of their all-time great pitchers, World Series winner, MVP, basically has won every type of award that you can for a pitcher, so he was one of their all-timers. And then, of course, Andy Pettitte, he was another great starting pitcher right there with Jeter and Rivera in that era. And then rounding out my honorable mentions, I'm putting Aaron Judge in there. I mean, when you look at his numbers, now obviously he ain't got the championships yet. He's still got to work on those championships, but that ain't his fault. Aaron Judge's numbers, he is aligned with their heavy hitter. Sometimes he's even in first place. So Aaron Judge, to me, is an all-time Yankee 100%. He still has some work to do, but he's a three-time MVP. And let me tell y'all, I'm looking over my list right now. All of them are multi-time MVPs, except for one, which is very shocking that one, he only got one MVP. But once I get to who it is, you're going to be like, oh, whoop-de-doo, his one MVP amongst all his other amazing things that have happened out throughout his career. But, you know, Aaron Judge, numbers-wise, 100% an amazing Yankee. And obviously, he still has to add to his resume. But I'm putting him in there in the honorable mentions just because he is that great, in my opinion. So let's get right into the top five all-time New York Yankees, beginning with number five, Yogi Berra. He was the catcher from 1946 to 1963. Now, let me tell y'all, okay, so all of these Yankees are all old-school Yankees. And not a lot of y'all realize that these dudes actually went to war at some point during their career. I think all of them that I'm going to rattle off, I'm pretty sure, I know four of the five of them did, but I'm pretty sure all five of them had to go to war at some point in their career. So the fact that some of these dudes still got the stats that they ended up with, I mean, if they didn't miss those couple of years due to going to the military, they would have even bigger statistics. That's just crazy to think. So Yogi Berra, 1946 to 1963, his career numbers, batting average 285, 2,150 hits, 358 home runs, 1,430 RBI. Now, this was why I was going back and forth between him and Jeter. And I was like, oh God, how do I do this? And then I got to the championships. And, you know, Jeter, he's got five. Yogi Berra has 10. He's got three if you count him as a coach or as a manager as well, because he was a manager post-playing career, a great manager as well, and a three-time MVP. And it's like I was looking over his career, and I'm like, 10 championships, which is, by the way, more than any player ever, still to this day. He played from 1946 to 1963, and nobody has been able to break that record, not even come close to breaking that record. So Yogi Berra, that was why I had to put him above Jeter. It was so close. But then once I saw the 10 championships, three-time MVP, nah, I went with Yogi Berra there. Then at number four on my top five all-time New York Yankees, Mickey Mantle. Now, you could easily put Mickey Mantle at number two, but I put him at four just because I think the three above him, to me, are just all-time Yankees, even though Mantle, definitely an all-time Yankee. He played center field from 1951 to 1968. His all-time career numbers, batting average 298, 2,415 hits, 536 home run, and 1,509 RBI. Now, Mantle is a dude whose career was marred by injuries as well, so his career numbers actually could be even more insane had he not suffered throughout the injuries he did. Even so, he is a seven-time champion, a three-time MVP. He has won the Triple Crown once, and he led the league in home runs four times, and he really is an all-time Yankee. I mean, when you think of just baseball, Mickey Mantle is, he's the epitome of what a five-tool player is. Just great at everything he did in the game. It's just like I said, the injuries really took him out. And to me, that's what I think really set him behind. Because, I mean, I'm looking at the batting average of the three guys above him. Their batting averages are monstrous compared to Mantle. So that was kind of the the little bit of, because, you know, with these guys, there's very, very few things that separate them. And so that was really what separated Mantle between the three guys that are above him is batting average. So number three on my top five all-time Yankees list, Joe DiMaggio, played center field from 1936 to 1951. This, I got to say, you look at his resume, but also just what he was probably the first superstar player in sports. I mean, he was, obviously he was with Marilyn Monroe, but I mean, even before he was with Marilyn Monroe, he was a superstar. So when the two of them got together, it was like, holy shit, these two are going to make the world explode. And they kind of did. But even so, Joe DiMaggio was just an all-time Yankee, the all-time baseball player at the time. And here are his all-time career numbers. Now, like I said, batting average was what kind of set him apart between him and Mickey Mantle. His all-time batting average of 325 compared to Mantle's 298. So that was a huge deal to me. He had 2,214 hits, 361 home run, and 1,537 RBI. He is a 9-time champion, so that just puts him right behind Yogi Berra. 3-time MVP. 2-time batting champion, 2-time home run champion, and 2-time RBI champion. And then another thing that is yet to be broken, 56-game hitting streak, which is a Major League Baseball record. I mean, just DiMaggio was, every time he would come up to the plate, he was pretty much getting on base. And that's what he was all about. And also winning championships and just a huge superstar and just an ultimate Yankee, really, at the end of the day. Then at number two on my top five all-time New York Yankees, Lou Gehrig. Played first base from 1923 to 1939. Unfortunately, his career was dashed because of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Had he not got ALS, who knows what his all-time numbers would have ended up being. But regardless, all-time numbers, batting average, 340. Let me say that again. An all-time batting average of 340. 2,721 hits, 493 home runs, 1,995 RBI. 6-time champion, 2-time MVP, Triple Crown Award winner, 3-time home run champion, 5-time RBI champion, and hit 4 home runs in 1 game, which is very, very rare. And when you think of Yankees, I mean, this dude was, you know, like I said about Joe DiMaggio, it was like the same thing with the two of them. They basically went from Gehrig to DiMaggio. And, you know, the unfortunate thing with Gehrig, too, is the ALS started setting in, I think, either a season or two before he was originally diagnosed with it. And what sucked is he ended up actually taking himself out of a game because he just could not catch the ball at first base. He was known for being an amazing first baseman, just hands down. Of course, he was an amazing hitter, but he was a great first baseman as well. And his skills just started to diminish, and he couldn't even catch the ball at one point. And he just had no idea what was going on with himself physically. And so he had to take himself out of the game one day. And he's like, y'all, I just can't do this anymore. And then that was basically the end of Lou Gehrig. He ended up going to the hospital. They discovered he had ALS. And then 2 years later, he died. So that's really just how quick it set in. But if he had not got ALS, I can't even imagine the numbers that Lou Gehrig would have. I mean, wow. But I mean, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. But Lou Gehrig, 100% one of the greatest Yankees of all time. Number one was easy. So easy that you should know who number one is of the top five all-time New York Yankees, because he's the greatest baseball player of all time, and that is Babe Ruth. Played outfield his entire career. He, of course, started with the Boston Red Sox, ended with the Atlanta Braves, but spent most of his time with the New York Yankees. His entire career spanned from 1914 to 1935. He spent his career with the Yankees from 1920 to 1934, so the majority of his entire career. But Babe Ruth, I'm only going to rattle off on the basics of this dude's resume, because basically Babe Ruth has like an entire Wikipedia page dedicated to every single record that this guy owns or has owned in the league. I mean, it is insane that Babe Ruth played in 1914 to 1935 and still to this day, 100 years freaking later, and this guy still dominates in so many categories, it's insane. So his batting average, you know, I just said Lou Gehrig's career batting average is a 340. Well, guess what? Babe Ruth batting average, 342. Yeah, a 342. How insane is that? 2,873 hits, 714 home runs, which stood for many, many, many years as the all-time home run record until the great Hank Aaron broke it. And then Barry Bonds broke his. And then 2,214 RBI for Babe Ruth. He is a seven-time champion. He is a one-time MVP. That was the most shocking thing to me, is that Babe Ruth was only MVP once in his entire career. Now, like I said, you take a look at his career resume, that's about the one boo-hoo on his resume. It's just one MVP, but that was kind of shocking to me. He is a 12-time home run champion, though. So, yeah, that's no shock there. And then 6-time RBI champion. But like I said, that was a very, very easy list for me, at least at number one. The rest of it, it was, you know, because a lot of people will put Mickey Mantle at number two, which I can't blame them. I mean, honestly, this is a very ticky-tacky list. Like I said, when you look at their resumes and you put them up against each other, I really, really wanted to put Jeter in there. I did, just because he is an all-time Yankee. When you think of the Yankees, especially when I grew up, you think of Derek motherfucking Jeter. But man, those 10 championships from Yogi Berra, that put him above it. But it's just, it's crazy when you actually even just look at the 100 greatest Yankees of all time. You're like, wow, they've had that many great players, and a lot of them homegrown. Like I said, I know a lot of y'all think, oh, well, the Yankees buy all their players. No, in some instances, yes, they have. But for the most part, Yankees are a homegrown team with a lot of dudes who have stayed with the Yankees their entire career. So, yeah, that was a good list to go through. But number one, Babe Ruth, was very, very easy. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.